All right, good evening. Good to see you guys with us this evening. Turn with me if you've got your Bibles to Deuteronomy 22. That's Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. I think I got that right. Yeah, so Deuteronomy chapter 22. We'll start it in verse 5. I'm going to read that as we get going. Tonight we get to finish our study on God's design for men and women. We've looked at God's design for a man and the role and the responsibilities a man is to play. We've looked at a woman, and we've covered this in over like 5 or 6 weeks. And tonight we get to look at a very major issue in our day-to-day. This is very relevant to all of us. We see it almost everywhere we turn. It's a controversial issue, and we're going to look at tonight that God made men to be men and women to be women, and there is no changing of those things. A man can't be a woman, and a woman can't be a man. So we're going to look at that tonight. We're going to look at the T in the LGBTQ. So we're going to look at what does the Bible say about transgenderism. So that's our question tonight. I think that at any time we have a question on anything, the only place we go to is to the Bible. So we're going to do that tonight. We want biblical answers to this. And I know in preaching this, I've prayed about it all week, that this will put me and this will put us at odds with the rest of society. But I want you to know that's a good place to be, because Christianity has always been at odds with society. So let's look at this tonight. I'm just going to read you one verse, Deuteronomy 22, verse 5. And again, this isn't the only verse we'll read. This is just one of a few places we're going to look at tonight. So just verse 5, it's very simple, very clear, a moral command here. There's ceremonial laws, there's other types of laws, but primarily this is a moral law here that is in effect, not just then, but today. So it says in verse 5, "The woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment." That's about as simple as anything could ever be. And then it says at the end, "For all that do so are an abomination unto the Lord thy God." So we'll start there. We won't end there. But let's pray together and we'll study. What does the Bible say about transgenderism? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, and that we can trust it and rely on it, and that we can run to it anytime we have questions in life. And your word says that it contains all things pertaining to life and to godliness. And God, we have a question in front of us here tonight that all of society is talking about. It's on the TV shows, it's in Hollywood, it's in the universities, it's in our public schools, it's everywhere we turn. And God, we don't look to society for answers. I don't want to know what a celebrity says. I don't want to know what a rock star says. I don't want to know what philosophy says, or psychiatry or psychology. I want to know what your word says. And it's our job to find out what it says and then to obey that. So God, teach us these things tonight and help me have the right tone. I want, my church knows this, but anybody else who hears it, we do not have any hatred whatsoever in our hearts towards any of these people. We just want to tell them the truth so that they might be saved. So God, help us to have that right tone, a tone of speaking the truth in love. God, help me to do that tonight. And we ask and pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We are in the middle of a new revolution. I don't know if we understand that, but there's been several revolutions that have taken place in America over the last 60 or so years. It began with a sexual revolution that was kind of went along with the hippies and Woodstock in the 60s and the 70s. And then it became a homosexual revolution that took place in when I was growing up in the 80s and in the 90s. And now, and all these things just follow the natural course towards each other. This is the way it goes. A sexual revolution will lead to a homosexual revolution, which will lead to where we are now, a gender revolution. We're living in that now. We're becoming consumed with it. It's everywhere that we turn. I turned on the Good Morning America the other day. I don't know if you guys saw this or not, but they had an 11-year-old transgender boy. And when I say boy, I mean boy. He was acting like a girl, pretending to be a girl, walking down the aisleway there. And as he walked out, dressed as a girl, flaunting himself as a girl, 11 years old, everybody in the studio was clapping and applauding and thinking it was the greatest thing they'd ever seen. Even somebody like Michael Strahan, who won a Super Bowl with the New York Giants, big, brawny, manly man, was sitting there applauding this young boy pretending to be a girl. It's everywhere we turn. You cannot get away from it. It's on Disney. We now know that Disney is trying to influence our kids towards a transgender ideology. We know that. They've come out that way. It's in our colleges. One of the most popular degrees in colleges today is gender studies. It's in our local public schools. It's everywhere we turn, you will see transgenderism. And they call it progress. It's the new civil rights movement. It is. They say we're moving towards a greater freedom and a greater equality for all. The aim, and this is their goal, it's stated as the goal, to break the nation out of its gender straitjacket. The Democratic Party tweeted just yesterday, "Trans kids belong, period." It's everywhere you turn. I don't have a hard time finding these things, and the main target is, get this, our children. That's who their bullseye's on. They're after our kids. They want to infect our mind, their minds, poison their hearts, and ultimately destroy their bodies. This is a war on the minds, the bodies, and the souls of our kids. We may understand that it's wrong. We may be able to stand up just as men and women in the church, but they're after our children. And it's a war. Our society's lost its way. We've gone mad, and now they're trying to take our children with them. So what do we do? We're told that it's our job now to accept it, that we are to tolerate these things. We're told that the next step, if you just accept it and let it go, then the next step is we turn into Michael Strahan, who sits there and applauds this stuff as it goes on. They're telling us to accept it, to applaud it, to endorse it. And if we don't, we're called all kinds of names. I've already been called names today. I've not even preached it yet. You're called a bigot. It's called discrimination. You're called backwards. It's called being unloving. You'll be canceled. You'll be threatened. On and on and on. And it's going to get worse as it goes. That preaching something like this, or even stating something like I'm going to state tonight publicly, will get you canceled. So what do? Do we accept it? Do we applaud it? Do we just let it go and zip our lips and remain silent on it? I don't think there's an option for us as a church. I think we cannot be silent and we must speak up and fight against these things. It's the church's job to stand up. It's the church's job to speak up on these issues and not be silent. It's the church's job. The Bible calls us a restrainer, that when God raptures the church out, the church and the Holy Spirit, that the world loses that restrainer of evil. And everything just goes and it flows to the worst possible place. So if we don't speak up now, if we don't tell the truth now, we're just going to see the world get worse and worse and worse. So somebody, somewhere, has to speak the truth. We fight back, we stand up, and I tell you, I'm going to protect my kids from these things. It's my job to protect them physically, that I won't let anything harm them physically, but I must also protect their minds. That they will not become brainwashed. They will not become warped from this evil that is after their minds. It's my job as a man to protect my kids from this evil that's trying to get a hold of them. So how do we do that? How do we protect our kids from evil? We teach them the truth about what the Bible says. We tell them what the Bible says. The church has done a poor job of this. The church has said this is wrong, and it is. But the church hasn't explained why it's wrong. The church hasn't taught, here's what the Bible says. Here's how you can defend yourself. Here's how you can answer those professors in college or those teachers in the schools. Here's what the Bible says. So that's what we're going to do tonight. I'm going to give you answers to share. And this is for future reference. Maybe you guys know the truth, and you're like, oh, Josh, I know all these things. I don't need to hear this. Well, this is going to be online if I don't get canceled. And you can copy this, set it aside, and the next time you have questions or your kids have questions, this is for future reference. Here's what the Bible says about this God-denying, gender-bending, order-subverting age we live in. So let's look at what the Bible says. 3 points. I want to start with the sin of transgenderism. And it is a sin. Deuteronomy 22, verse 5. We've already read it. I want to go back there. I want you to see that this is like the fifth book in the Old Testament, so this isn't a new sin. This is an age-old sin. This is an ancient sin. This is a result of original sin, that when we sin, we automatically start snowballing into some of the most evil and corrupt things that your mind can ever come up with. Romans 1 says that. You'll become a depraved in your mind where you start thinking up new evils. And here we are in Deuteronomy, and they're already doing the same thing. It says in verse 5, and I want you to see this. I've underlined it. And I want to ask you a question. I want to read it again. Ask a question. Here we go. Verse 5. The woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man. Neither shall a man put on that which is a woman's garment. How many sexes are described there in that verse? Two. God made us male and female. That's Genesis 1. And Jesus reiterated that in the New Testament. God made us male and female. There are no other genders. There is no other sex. So there's a male and a female. And how should, second question, how should men dress and how should women dress? Very simple, okay? I know this is a moral law here in Deuteronomy. There's a civil law. There's a ceremonial law. They follow those things in Israel. Moral laws never change. The moral law here says that a man is supposed to dress like a man. The moral law here says that a woman should dress like a woman. This is as simple as it gets. I know I put it here in my notes. I know that's groundbreaking. I know that that's shocking to you. I know that that shouldn't be something I even have to stand up here and say tonight. But a man should dress like a man and a woman should dress like a woman. Or I'll say this, and this is not just about clothes. A man should act like a man, and a woman should act like a woman. A man should behave, act, live like a man, and a woman should behave, act, live like, talk like, be like a woman. That's what the Bible says. Men and women should act differently based on their biology, based on their sex. They should dress, act, live, behave differently. It's very clear. In strongest of terms here, that bending, changing, or transitioning from one sex to another, even in how you dress, is sinful, evil, and wrong. The Bible is very clear on this. In Deuteronomy, he's kind of comparing how God's people will act compared to how the pagans will react in the rest of the world. So he's saying the pagans may do this, but God's people are commanded not to do it. It's a sin. You say, well, that's the Old Testament, Josh. You could say it's a moral law, that it's unending, that this is going to go on and on, because God's morals never change. But you're going to have to give me something else besides one verse in Deuteronomy. I came prepared. Turn with me, if you will, to the New Testament and 1 Corinthians chapter 11. So I touched on this a little bit last week. And I want to touch on it a little bit here. I'm going to start in verse 3. And it's the same thing. Paul is writing to the church at Corinth, and he's saying the pagans in Corinth may act this way, but the church cannot act this way. I'm going to ask the same two questions. As I read this, I want you, the first question is, how many sexes are there? Okay? Verse 3. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of every woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. Every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonoreth his head. But every woman that prayeth or prophesieth with her head uncovered, dishonoreth her head. For that is even all one as if she were shaven. For the woman be not covered, let her also be shorn. But if it be a shame of a woman to be shorn or shaven, let her be covered. For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is the image of the glory of God, but the woman is the glory of man. The man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. I'm going to stop right there. I can go on. Verse 9, neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. You see that? It just goes on. How many sexes are there there? Two. Man and woman. And here it's talking about how men and women are to portray themselves in the society, or even in the church. As men walk into the church, culturally speaking, they are to dress and act and behave like a man would dress, act, and behave. Man shouldn't have his head covered. He shouldn't have long hair. That's culturally then. A man should look like a man. And a woman should have her head covered or her hair. I mean, and we're not going to get into why that is. Again, I think that's culturally speaking in Corinth, based on what was going on outside, that a woman wasn't looking like a woman and a man wasn't looking like a man. So he says, God made us male and female, and a male should act, live, behave, dress like a man, and a woman should do the same like a woman. It's as simple as it gets. It's easy. Biologically, men should dress, act like men, and women should act like women. There's to be very distinct differences in how men and women dress, act, and behave. Very distinct. That's what this is all about. When people walk into a church, you should be able to tell the difference between a man and a woman. There should be no looking at them and saying, I can't tell the difference. There must be distinct differences between a man and a woman. That's what Paul's saying here. How many times have you, in the last few months, ran across somebody where you do, I don't know. It's happening more and more and more, even in our area. He's saying here, there must be a distinct difference in how a man and a woman look. Men were to present themselves as men. Women were to present themselves as women. Men and women are to, and I say this over and over and over, dress, act, live, and behave according to their biology. Our dress, actions, and outward appearances should reflect the biology that God has given us. That's about as simple as it can get. Boys should dress like boys. I'll say this, boys should shake hands like boys. Boys should talk like boys. Boys should carry themselves like boys. And the same should go with girls. I have taught my son how to shake hands like a man. I've taught my son how to talk like a man. I spend a lot of my time looking at Isaiah and Christian and saying, this is how a man is to act. And Steph does a lot of things where she talks to our girls and says, this is how a woman is supposed to act. There should be a distinct difference. So truth number one, and we'll move on. I may take up more of your time than you want tonight, but you're stuck. Truth number one, God made us male or female. We're not genderless. We're not gender fluid. It's male or female, and that is stamped in our very DNA. That's our biology. Truth number two, we can't change it. Truth number one, we're either male or a female. It goes down to the very depths of our DNA. And we can't change what we are. You've never been able to change it, and you never will be able to change it. You can change your clothes, but you cannot change your sex. You just like you can't turn an apple into a banana, you can't. Just like you can't turn a dog into a cat, or you can't turn the sky from blue to green, or grass from green to blue. You can't change a man to a woman or a woman to a man, no matter how hard you try. Truth number three, God commands us to behave according to our biology. The whole Bible, Old Testament and New, speaks with one voice on this. God made us male and female. We can't change that, and we are to act, live, behave according to the gender biology God has given us. So any and all forms of transgenderism is a sin. Number two, back to Deuteronomy. Not just the sin of transgenderism, this one should go a little bit faster. The seriousness of transgenderism. Because look what he says here. He doesn't just give us the command, the woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment. He says here how serious it is. For everyone that does this, he says the word all there, any that does this, does so, are, and he uses the word abomination here. Track the word abomination. 16 times in Deuteronomy. And it's not talking about how your sideburns grow, or how you fence in your animals. It's always the worst of sins. This word is not talking about normal sins. And I want you to know that there is a difference in sins. All sin will send you to hell, but not all sins are equal. You guys know that. Hatred is not as bad as murder. Hatred will send you to hell, but murder will send you to jail. That's a good quote. It rhymes too. So when God calls something an abomination, it's a sin that is outrageous, abnormal, gross, disgusting, wicked, loathsome, detestable. That when God looks at it, he says it is incredibly dishonoring to him. Leviticus 18:22, homosexuality. If a man lays with a man as he lays with a woman, it is an abomination unto God. That when God sees it, it makes him sick. Same thing he says here. It shows that this sin dishonors God so much that it's an abomination. Why? Because it's a direct attack on God's design. Your body was given by God. I believe the Bible teaches, and I could go into so many verses, but I'm already getting over my time. But our bodies, our biology is given by God to the point where He sculpts us and makes us by His mind and by His hand, exactly as He wants us to be. We are given this body by God, and we are meant to treasure it, not mutilate it or change it. I'm going to say that again. I thought I'd get at least one amen out of that. God gave us this body. He didn't make a mistake. And in giving us this body, created by His mind and by His very hand, the Bible says you are fearfully and wonderfully made by God. So that we are made to treasure this body and cherish it, not mutilate it and change it. It's an attack on God's design. That's why it's an abomination. It's an attack on God's authority. You're now playing God. You're now saying, God gave me this body, but God, you're wrong, I'm right, I'm changing it. You are now placing yourself as authority over God. How prideful do you have to be? It comes from that generational saying that we've had, you can be anything that you want to be, honey. Well, I want to be something other than I am. Okay. No. A man can't be a woman and a woman can't be a man. When you reject God's design for you, you are rejecting God's authority over you. It's rebellion and it's serious. Second, I want you to know that it dishonors. This is how serious it is. It dishonors God and it dishonors your own body. And I want you to see, this is real world. I had to look this up today. I spent a lot of time reading studies. It comes with a risk. Real world, everyday risk. I believe there's an ultimate judgment of God that at the end He's going to judge us. But I believe there's, in the moment, judgment of God now. And the judgment that God pours out is, listen to this. All LGBTQ plus 1, 7, 10, whatever they want to add on there, comes with a risk. But the T in LGBTQ is the most dangerous risk of them all. You say, how can you say that? Transgenderism brings with it an increased drug addiction. This is science. This is studies. You can look it up. Increased alcohol abuse, increase in depression and suicide. And it's not because society doesn't accept it, because we're now living in a society that overwhelmingly accepts it. Why are they still alcoholics, drug abusers, depressed, and committing suicide? Because some little preacher in Big Stone Gap is preaching against it? That's why? No, it's because it's the judgment of God on their conscience that they can't get rid of. Get this, it causes them great harm. I don't know if you guys are paying attention to this, but our society is violently maiming these people today. They're violently maiming children today. If they can't kill them in the womb, they will maim them outside the womb. It's a devilish, satanic attack on kids. Transgenderism, get this, just a few years ago, used to be called gender identity disorder. That was to be treated psychologically. And now you open up the American Psychiatric Association textbook and it's no longer there. We no longer treat this as a disorder. We celebrate it like it's something great. Second, they're now giving kids hormone therapy. I don't know if you guys know this. Cross-sex hormones. They are experimenting on kids. They have no idea what this is going to do to kids. No clue. In 2013, there were 5 clinics in all of America that would give kids hormone therapy. In 2016, there were 50. Today, there's over 300 in America. It delays puberty until they can make a decision of their own on what they want to be. I don't know what my kid's going to be. Today could be this or today could be that. So parents say, let's delay puberty until they can make their own minds up. What harm? Listen to this. Richard Levine, he goes by a woman's name now. Quote, all pediatricians agree that gender-affirming care is great for kids. What harm they're doing on kids. So it goes from hormone therapy to transition therapy, which is irreversible surgery on kids. Damaging, destructive, on and on and on. And no matter what they do, they can't get rid of their own biology. You can do whatever you want to your body. You can cut off what you want to cut off. You can add what you want to add. But no matter what you do, you can't change the DNA that is deep down within your very bones. Amen. They're going to try everything they can, but they can't change biology. They'll bury you in the ground, and 1,000 years from now, they'll dig you up, and based on your DNA, they can tell if you're a man or a woman. Yeah. They may have a bone that says man and an old dress laying there that says he acted like a woman. He never was a woman. No matter the gender therapy they give them or the gender transition they give them, no matter what they want to do. And it won't end well. If they're giving kids this stuff, who knows what it's going to be in 20 years for them. Listen to this quote I got. Stunted prepubescent male or testosterone-added adult female with mass psychosis, brittle bones, liver failure, kidney disease, cancer, and will end up sterile. That's a generation we're going to have in a few years. They are maiming a generation. This kind of love doesn't win. This kind of love is destructive. It's serious. It destroys the mind. It destroys the body. And ultimately, it'll destroy the soul. And our society is putting our kids in the parade of transgenderism, and they're all falling them off a cliff into hell. This is serious. Yeah. I can't believe there's not more people speaking up about it. Last point, and I'll close. Give me 10 minutes. What's the solution? I give you the sin. I've showed you how serious it is. I want to show you the solution. What do we do with this? I've only got two things. You tell the truth. Everybody else is lying to them. It may be the greatest lie of our generation, that they can be whatever they want to be, and you have no idea how many people are lying to them. Lies everywhere. Everywhere you turn. And I wrote down a list. Doctors are lying about it. I've told Steph that I'm going to go to my doctor and I'm going to say, how many sexes are there? And if my doctor says there's more than two, I'm not going to go to that doctor anymore. He's a liar. Why can I trust him with anything else? Doctors are lying, scientists are lying, politicians are lying, newscasters are lying, Hollywood is lying, parents is lying, everybody that we're around is lying about this. They say, this is what transgender people say, my body is lying to me. God gave me this body and my body tells me what I am, but my brain tells me I'm something else. Which one should I believe? I say believe the body because that's God telling you who you are. But they say, I'm just going to believe my mind. My mind tells me that I'm something different than what my body tells me that I am. So they go to their parents and they say, my mind tells me that I'm something different than what I was born as. And the parents say, okay. Instead of looking at them and saying, you're playing pretend. That's like little Emma coming up to me and saying, Daddy, I'm a princess. If she really thought that, we'd think there's something wrong. So the parents say, okay. They identify as that. So we're proud of you. Let's go along with it. And then as the parents go along with it, they take them to doctors who go along with it and nurses who go along with it. And then they send them to school. And the teachers are made to go along with it. So they go along with a lie. They are lying. Their parents are lying. Doctors are lying. Teachers are lying. Everybody is supposed to lie. A long line of lies. Listen to what Joe Biden said. You want to quote from Joe Biden? I hope I can get it out. Said the parents of trans children. He said this. This was just the other day. Affirming your child's identity is one of the most powerful things you can do to keep them safe and healthy. So basically what he's saying, the President of the United States is saying, lying to your kids is the best thing you can do. So in a world that's lying to them, full of lies, who's going to stand up and tell them the truth? That's the question. I think this is on this issue. This is the truth's last stand. If we can't speak the truth to what a man is and what a woman is, what can we speak truth on? So we must stand up. We must speak out. We must tell them, your body is not lying to you. Your body is God's way of saying, this is who you are. This is how I made you. Your brain is lying to you. You are lying to you. Your parents are lying to you. God doesn't lie to you. Amen. Your body isn't confused. You are. It's a biological reality. I've said it 10 times tonight. Embedded into the very every cell of your body, down to the very DNA. This is the identity God chose for you. If you're a man, it's he. If you're a woman, it's she. God says so. If we can't state that truth, we've lost truth. And I say this as I'm getting loud. You must do it in love. I got 5 minutes. I say, give me 10. Give me 5 more. You do it in love. You got to do it in love. We aren't trying to be mean. We don't want to win a debate. I'm not trying to debate LGBTQ people. I'm not trying to win. I don't hate people who are confused about their gender. We may be the only people that love them enough to tell them the truth. Think about that. If everybody else is lying to them and we're telling them the truth, who loves them? Who loves them? The ones telling the truth. But they say we're the ones that hate them. So we tell them the truth. We don't lie. We are people of the truth. If I go along with this lie, then who's going to believe me when I stand up and preach the gospel? This is the last line of defense for truth. If this goes, everything goes. If this goes, anything goes. And the church has been silent. You tell me, and I don't want to... How many sermons on this have you heard? Yeah. If we don't speak truth, who is? Not only do we tell the truth, and I've got 3 minutes, we share the gospel. The main problem with transgenderism is that it's a sin. Amen. It's deeper than the clothes. It's deeper than how you look on the outside. It's deeper than the body. It goes to the depths of the very heart of who you are. You're a sinner at the very depth of your being, just like every single one of us are. And the solution to transgenderism is the solution to adultery, is the solution to homosexuality, is the solution to any sin that any of us ever commit. It's giving the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the solution. We point them to the answer, which is Jesus. He's the only one that can solve transgenderism. He's the only one that can fix transgenderism. It's impossible to change your gender, but Jesus can change your heart. Amen. Now there's your quote for the sermon tonight. That's the message. Just like anyone else, transgenders need to see their sin for what it is. We have to tell them it's sin. I read a quote today that said, every revival in the history of the world started with people seeing their sin for what it is. See your sin, confess your sin, repent of your sin, and go on to live a new life in Christ according to God's perfect design, not against it. Let me say that again. This is the gospel. They must see their sin for what it is. Transgenderism is a sin. They must confess that as sin. God, I've sinned against you and your authority. I've sinned against my own body It's wrong. I repent, and I will now go on living as my biology or as you have designed me to live. That's the gospel. That's what our society needs to hear. But they aren't hearing it. So that's why we as a church, and this is the last sermon I'll preach on. Somebody comes to me and they'll say, Josh, what do you believe on transgenderism? On May the 4th, 2022, go look it up. This is what the Bible says on transgenderism. We can't be silent on it. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, the clarity of it. I don't think there's anything that could be any more clear. You'd have to be blind to not see this. And I know there's going to be some people who fight back against this. I expect it. That's okay. I know what your word says, and I stand upon it. I pray, God, that you'd help us as a church, that no matter what happens, no matter what's said, that we will stand for the truth. We will share the gospel. And I pray that we'd see people who are stuck in this sin saved. I do. That's our whole heart. I don't want to win an argument. I want to win souls. So God, help us to do that. Help us to see people come out of this lifestyle. The world says it can't happen. This is who they are. There's nothing they can do to change it. We know better. We know that Jesus can change any sinner, like he changed us. So, but I pray that we would see people saved from this evil. Help us, God, please, in this corrupt generation, to be a great light. And we ask and pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.